Hello, everyone out there in the ethers. Welcome, everyone, to Awakenings, and hello to all of you in the chat, Sacred Space of Empowerment. I see you. I see your light. And hello, everyone listening to via Cosmic Dimensions. It's great to connect with all of you, and I also say a warm welcome to all of you listening later in the archives. All happening now, so all good. So happy Wednesday, and welcome to the program, New Time listeners. I hope you like what you hear and benefit, and hope you feel moved to perhaps even share some of your thoughts or insights in the chat or either by calling in. I'm Michelle Mache. I'm the host and co-pilot, and just holding the sacred space here for all of us to converge and to connect. And so what is Awakenings? Well, Awakenings is nothing without the wonderful grounded beings that hold the sacred space of empowerment in the chat room, and also the listener participants and the amazing guests that we do attract on this program. So I want to thank all of you for making Awakenings what it is in this continual unfoldment that is assisting all of us and allowing us to share and have a place to come and connect, reflect, learn, share, teach, learn, and bring it out into your everyday living. So this is what Awakenings is about. If you're new to the program, Awakenings highlights conscious living for conscious lives. It's a place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, metaphysicians, spiritually minded people, and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up, are awake, or awakening more and more and revealing and reflecting this in their lives. We also host dialogues and interviews with conscious experts, visionaries, and awakened leaders. The focus really is about the process and path of awakening, of being spirit-led, of aligning more to the soul, and living your soul's purpose or your life's purpose. That's another way that many put it. And we also delve into the metaphysical, the spiritual, spiritualism, esoteric knowledge and wisdom teachings as well. And so it's really a resource, but it's also a connecting point. It's a sharing point. You know, out of the harmonic convergence of the late 80s came the converging flow. And what happens in this converging flow is that people from all walks of life, this is, excites me so much, people from all walks of life, all preferences, proclivities, you know, from metaphysicians to spiritualists to scientists to writers, musicians, you know, mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, all, you know, techies. You know, social media, what's happening with social media is reflective of this divine mind. From the, you know, the secretary to the sanitation engineer to the post person, postman or post lady are waking up in various succession of degrees. It's been happening for quite a long time, but you're seeing the quickening phase since 2005 where people are kind of just waking up and saying, I want more. I am more. I want more fulfillment. I wonder what I'm really supposed to be doing here. Now, these are questions that have been going on for a long time, age-old questions, and especially of us that have been walking the path for a very long time or came in this way. We've had this awareness. Many of us have been living like this. It's been, but what I'm talking about, because it's been more fringe, it's been alternative. You know, it's been alternative thinking, alternative lifestyles, alternative medicine. From alternative, it began to move into complementary. You know, now the focus isn't so much on religion, but spirituality. Not to say that there still are not the old paradigm of religion or, you know, go to school, get a good job, get married, get two cars, and that's it, and hope for your pension. But you can see by what's happening around the world, around our wonderful globe, this global awareness, this awareness that times are changing, times have changed, there's a dissolving going on, and we can look at this astrologically as well, which we do when we have a lot of the astrologers on. The collective shift is happening in the institutions, but it's also happening within our systems, but it's also happening individually. And so we really track this. I work with the spiritual hierarchy unfolding the plan, and with the Oversouls and various other guide systems, as well as with the Akashic and just divine downloads or insights, if you will, to track what's happening. I've been doing this since, early 90s, I guess, actually, in support. And so that's the initiation for this. And, of course, we all come together to share what's going on for us individually and how it fits in collectively. So it's a wonderful connecting, and I just feel so honored always to be here. Lots of wonderful beings in the chat room. Hello, hello. And hello, those that are listening on the phone lines as well. Also, if you would like to, if you're a guest and you would like to respond in the chat room and share your insight as well as ask questions, all you need to do is to register through Blog Talk Radio, and that's just your name and email. And if you want to choose a screen name or use your own name, however. But just that registering just allows you to dialogue in the chat room. Otherwise, you can just listen as a guest, and that's fine too. And if you would like to call in with a question or comment or share your unfolding, what you're seeing in this collective awakening, that number is 347-539-5122. And again, that's 347-539-5122. And you can also just listen. You can also just listen by phone as well. I get the heads up every now and then. Don't pick up the phone because I am just listening. And if you are just listening, that's fine. If you do have a question or a comment, just press 1 on the keypad, and that gives me an alert on the switchboard that you actually have a question. And also, people, if you know that you're calling from a private number, an anonymous number, or Skype, what I see on the switchboard is 111111. Sometimes I'll see the number, but usually if it's through the computer, it just says 1111. So just be aware of that when you're calling in, because sometimes I'm saying, okay, private number, Skype number, I'm trying to get you, you're on the air, hello, 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 you're on the air, and they don't know that it's them because it sounds like I'm just talking to anyone. So anyway, I don't know what the answer is to that. Maybe Blog Talk can figure something out with that. Maybe I'll write a little suggestion. So, So I have a couple questions that I want to go over. Oh, but before I do that, I also want to let everyone know that's listening a couple ways to stay in contact, stay connected. Of course, on the Facebook page, which I am so loving the interaction there and the questions and the comments and people uploading videos. On Facebook, we're at Awakenings Radio. And I think you can just put Awakenings Radio, or if you put my name, Michelle Mache, it should come up as well. But Awakenings Radio on Facebook to stay in contact. Also, awakenings@selfandlight.com if you have questions about Awakenings or want to be on the mailing list, email list. I send out sometimes meditations or divine downloads. You'll keep up to date on, any workshops and things that are going on as well. But I also like to send out little insights of what's happening. Dream Master, if you have questions, I'd love to respond to them. Oh, I always have questions. Life is a question that's continually being answered. So thank you, Dream Master. Sounds good. Awakenings@selfandlight.com, and then also the website is selfandlight.com as well. So I wanted to go over a couple of questions that we had that came in from email, and also some wonderful emails of people enjoying the program and the guests. So I really, really appreciate that as well. Okay, so this one here from a listener, actually in New York. How to know if we're on the right path? Oh, and I do see somebody. I'll get to the call. How do we know if we're on the right path? Because sometimes it seems, what does it say? Sometimes it seems that the path, well, two questions. How do we know if we're on the right path? And sometimes it seems that once we're on the path, it becomes more difficult. So does that mean that you're on the wrong path? No. One of my teachers used to say, you know, spirit uses honey rather than vinegar. So we get coaxed to become more conscious, more awake, more aware because of, in essence, for our yearning or longing for something more, that completion, which is a completion of our own self, our divine aspect, the recognition that we are a divine spark or we are the all that is in a physicated form or a incarnated form, an individuated form, as an individuated aspect. So because of that, that longing gets us on the road, and usually there is, a lot of times there can be, doesn't have to be, but there can be some challenges, difficulties, tragedies along the way, drama, something going on, wounding coming up. And when we embark upon the path, as it's known, we meet with connection. We meet with understanding. We meet with love. We meet with love, light, wisdom. We receive tools. We receive help, insight. We connect. You know, in the Eastern traditions, it's sangha or satsang, a connecting of like-minded individuals. So that all is very, it's a coming home. And many people say that, I just feel like I was just coming home. You know, or I met these wonderful people or this great spiritual teacher. And there's always the coming home. And then what begins to happen is, out of that, at some point, the wounding comes up. What originally got us there comes back around for us to look at. And sometimes it might mean, as we're shifting and changing, becoming just more us, we're just shifting and changing usually behaviors and beliefs. You know, you've heard the proverbial onion, the onion being, you know, unraveled, so to speak, or unraveling the iron, peeling the yarn, peeling back the onion. The layers come, and we become more of us. The true ego personality is a reflection of the soul and our spiritual nature, less constructed, less defensive, less things that we learn and we do because we, you know, we don't know what else to do, kind of in the human realm aspect. And sometimes because of that, we are finding ourselves with different people, different preferences, different focuses and new directions coming in. And so sometimes there is, it's not a leaving people behind, or it seems that we move on from them, they move on from us, or a lack of interest or commonality. And what I would say to that is two things. Yes, that does happen and it does hurt. It creates a sense of loss on a dense physical level, you know, the touch, the face-to-face contact, or perhaps the voice, you know, not having someone in your life anymore. But the truth is that we're always connected because we're all spiritually connected. We are all one. The individuated aspect is separated out, but not separate. So sometimes what helps in that situation is to use the spiritual tools, perhaps meditation, inner plane work, to feel the connection on the spiritual plane or on the astral plane, on the etheric plane, to feel that connection and know that just now, in this moment, or this lifetime, or this layer, or this level, we went as far as we were meant to go together. You know, we did what we were meant to do, because there are no mistakes on some level. You know, we can have mistaken behaviors or misinterpretations, but in the overall scheme of the unfolding, when this kind of thing happens organically, it's creating to a certain point or to a certain level until whatever that energy exchange that took place is no longer needed or necessary. But the love always remains. The connection always remains, but not always in the way that people surmise or think it should. So that, and how do you know you're on the right path? That was the other part of it. I've been getting that a lot, so that's kind of cool. I like that people are asking that question. I always say it's the subtle energy you know by a resonance. And again, this has to do a lot with emotional clearing. The more clear you are, the more you're not going to delude yourself, because the ego, egoic mind can create deception. It can create thinking you're doing something for the right reason. And that's why for a good period of time, you really, I would say, work with somebody, a good mentor, teacher, guide, you know, therapist, whatever, and also good friends. I have some good friends that are very close to me, and also I work with a teacher as well, a few of them, a couple of them, but one really in particular that is very honest. And so you can shift things. Also doing, and also you can go on my website, selfandlight.com, under tools for transformation, there's a downloadable and printable version of projection perception, and it's free. So there's quite a few free tools on there. As long as you're doing that tool, you're handling what's being, if you're being triggered, whether positively or negatively, if you want to, you know, in a good way or a bad way, if you want to use dualistic terms. But any triggering is some form of projection. So coming together towards someone or pulling apart, there's always a bit of a projection there. If you use the tool to clear the projection, then you move into perception. That's where psychic ability comes in, you know, or channeling. It's still coming through our filter or clear intuition. It's still coming through our individuated consciousness, which means our life experience and our understandings, but you have less filtering and more accuracy the more you clear your projections. You move more into living in perception. A wonderful author, Women Who Run with the Wolves, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, talks about this, you know, and it's just a few people, it's not widely talked about that we also can live by perception. People are always talking about projection and mirroring. But the world isn't just based on projection or mirroring. Otherwise, we would be egocentric. We'd be not just a little narcissistic, we'd be a lot narcissistic. It would always be about us. And things are not always about us unless we insert ourselves in there. And that's what karma is. When we insert ourselves into situations or we're attached to the result or the outcome, then you're riding on someone else's slide, so to speak. Now you're in someone else's game and the sticky glue begins. And that's why being in the meditative state and being in that witness state, you know, if you're feeling over emotionally charged or, you know, emotionally attached to something one way or the other, is to connect back into the witness, the observer. This way you don't engage. You do not engage and enact the sticky glue. So that, you know, then you live by perception more, and you're in that more state of now, or that oneness, if you're living more by perception. But we have both. That's what we're doing here. We're doing both. But the perception allows us to just observe and be, to witness what we're meant to be witnessing here, each of our individuated aspects, in that we are individuated aspects. So if you're in the perception, you're able to witness in a way that isn't judgmental, that has compassion. So you might judge if something's right for you or appropriate for you, but it's not judgmental. And you're not comparing, you're noticing. And you're not fearful, you're aware. So that's more in that state of complete awareness, I guess, is a good way also to put it. Okay, we have a caller here on line 3, and it's anonymous caller, so I'm hoping, hello.
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Oh, Carolyn, good. I didn't see your, you're our guest. I'm going on and on, because I had another number for you that you'd be calling from. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, 323 number. That's okay.
Oh, welcome, it's blocked. I'm sorry. Yeah.
it's blocked. Okay, that's why, yeah. That happens sometimes. So, anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really great. Just had a really great class, so I'm all pumped up.
Oh, good. So tell us, and first of all, just for our listener participants in the chat room, I want to give your website. So we are on the line with our guest, Carolyn Coleridge, who does intuitive soul healing, and her website is intuitivesoulhealing.com. And she basically helps you remove blocks that prevent you from living your life to the fullest, just what we were talking about at the top of the program. So welcome to the program, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about, I've got so much to ask. Well, let's start first with you, with your own awakening or intuitive awareness, living more consciously, awake on a path. How did this transpire for you?
Okay, pretty large question. So I'm a psychotherapist by training and a spiritual life coach, and I'm also intuitive. I do intuitive readings and healing work. And how that all came about, as a therapist, I was getting really drained. And I was working in New York City. I worked on Wall Street and different places as a counselor. And I realized I was picking up the energy of people, not just their thoughts and what they were saying, but the physical energy. So I took a Reiki class, a Reiki energy healing class, and it helped me to understand the energetic boundaries of between myself and people. And I also started to see visions around people. There are spirit guides who come forward, or I see lights, or I get information in my head. And I started practicing at the Casey Institute to do intuitive readings. So what I realized, I was working with people that when their spirit guides came through, that I was working more with their soul as opposed to their personality. So that's why I got into intuitive soul healing, because I realized their soul was giving me information to help them heal. And I became conscious, more aware of my past probably several years ago, probably around 27, right before my Saturn return. I was working in D.C., and I was working for an economics research firm, and I was thinking I wanted to go to school as social work and become a therapist, but I wasn't sure. And I met this visitor, as I call him, at a bookstore. It was an angel gathering. And he just was, you know, a guy that just hung out there. And he was very, he had a lot of light. Like, the workshop was How to Meet Your Angels. And we just started talking. I actually went up. I kept looking behind me because he was sitting behind me, and I felt this presence. And I just can't describe it anything else but a presence, just like a normal guy. Mm-hmm. But he had this light about him. So I was walking around the books. And that book, How to Meet Your Angels by Sophie Burnham, How to Talk to Your Angels, fell out and hit me on the head. And I said, oops. So I grabbed the book, and he was helping me pick up. And I was like, this is a great book. And the minute I opened up the dialogue, he started talking to me about spirit, about the world, about the universe, and all these different things. And was really kind of a deep soul. And I remember we were just chatting, and it was about 8 o'clock, the workshop finished. And all of a sudden it became 11:30, and I said, where did the time go? So it was like a time warp, and I wanted to continue the conversation, and we did, and I said, let's go out and get something to eat in Adams Morgan in D.C., so he went out to get something to eat, and what I noticed is that he didn't eat. He didn't really eat anything. We ordered food, but he kept talking about how the universe works. He was reading The Course in Miracles. I was reading The Course in Miracles. He goes, I'm on page 115. I was on page 115. So there was, he was teaching me about synchronicity and coincidence. And he had this wad of money, of dollar bills, and he kept giving it to all these homeless. He said, when you give, you receive. And what was interesting about the money, it didn't seem to ever get smaller, the wad. And I was kind of in trance with what he was saying, but observing this. And he kept saying, you know, what you give, you receive. So he said that he was studying Spanish in Guatemala, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, my God, I have a wallet I just bought from Guatemala, and it's really beautifully. Let me give it to you, because you shouldn't be having a wad of money out in D.C. in the middle of the night. And he said, sure. So I gave him the wallet, and in the wallet there was another wallet. And he goes, see, once you give, you receive. And I said, I swear I don't remember another wallet, because some of those stitched wallets are very small, so you would feel another wallet in there. And I was like, how did you do that? So the interaction, yeah, the interaction went on. You know, immediately I thought of Christ and, like, you know, feeding millions of people with the fish. So,
yes, yes.
Yeah, so, and I was making it, I was right before my Saturn return, I was 27, right, 28 is when your Saturn return happens, you know, all the planets are lined up in the same place you were born, so I had a pivotal decision, and I was working for an economics research firm, and I could have gone to France and lived there for free, done nothing really, just work for this company doing marketing, but they pay for everything, overpay you, kind of partying, basically, or I could have gone to Columbia and become a therapist. And through our conversations, he spent like 3 days with me, like working with me, doing things. teaching me things about spirituality, about the universe. We read the Course in Miracles. It's just an incredible experience. What happened is I decided to go to Columbia, you know, and then that put me on my path. But, you know, it was 12 years until later that I realized this, you know, I mean, I realized this person, I never heard back from him. I got one email that, no, excuse me, it was a snail mail, and it didn't have an envelope on it. It had, a stamp postage on it. It just had, it just came to me, and he was talking about the universe and all this other stuff, and I'm like, this guy isn't real. Then I remember I took a picture of him, and the picture, when I got it developed months later, because I forget about, you know, being busy, there was just a light. There was nothing there. But he taught me how to move clouds. He brought me to a Buddhist shop. He taught me how to meditate. And I was vegetarian then, and I was meditating in the park. And, you know, meditating in the park seemed to open me up to spirituality a lot more, and to the universe and to God. And when I said I was going to, if I go to New York to go to Columbia, I said I was grappling with the decision. I said, I would be so alone. I don't know anyone there. You know, I went to school in Connecticut, and then I'm in D.C., and he turned around and said, no matter what you do and where you go, you're never alone. And the whole voice permeated the whole room. And I said, who was that? That sounded like the voice of God. And he said, we're all channels for God. That kind of freaked me out a little bit. So it was, you know, so that was how I opened up. You know, and from there, I was at the time, I was always reading books and studying and living at the spiritual bookstores. And the experience was subtle but profound. And it was actually after he left, I called my mother. My mother's a medium, even though she's a chemistry teacher. She had mediumship experiences her whole life. I said, Mom, I had this experience. She goes, oh, I can hear in your voice you had a visitation. And I was like, how did you do this? She goes, I could tell. And my Reiki teacher at the time said, oh, my God, your aura is golden. What happened? And I said, I don't know. I think I met this person. But he was subtle enough that I didn't get it until, like, afterwards. When I started questioning, he had to leave. When I started questioning, he said, I have to go. So, you know, maybe he was an ascended master. Maybe he was a person with a spiritual experience that was very evolved. But the impression was that he wandered and inspired people different places, you know. Yeah.
It's interesting how, bringing up some memories for me as well, some similar experiences. And it's interesting how you do come across people like this or beings like this on the path, kind of guideposts, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just somehow either say the right thing, or there's enough synchronicity there that you're getting the confirmation of what you're doing, you know, like the sharing of the information, both, you know, reading the Course in Miracles and It's wonderful when that begins to happen, you know, that it's a kind of a confirmation of also of the multidimensional reality that we live, you know, that no matter where you go, you're not only are you there, but someone is there for you and you're there for someone. You get what you need, you know.
Absolutely, and it was, what was strange about it is that, it wasn't actually strange, but I was asking. I was meditating in the park every day. I was trying to make a decision, and, you know, the prayer was answered to a person, just a random person that supported me. And what was interesting is that I didn't sleep. Like, you know, like we didn't eat the 3 days he spent time with me. I slept the last day, but when I woke up, he was standing in my room. He wasn't there. He had left. He had gone home. Wherever home was, and he had a long white gown on, and I was like, who is this person? And then later when he came by, I was like, I swear you were in my room, and he just, like, ignored it. I was starting to figure out who he was as a being, you know, and I mean, I was like, I swear, and he's like, that's strange. He's like, yeah, well, I tend to be around. Like, everything was kind of vague. I mean, there were stories, there were different things, but it took a while. Like, if I had known right then that he was, you know, somebody who held the Christ energy. That's all I can say. You know, it was everything was like, I love you. You're so sweet. You're so kind. You're so compassionate. You're so intuitive all the time. Like, who says that to you, you know? Because, you know, your heart is full of gold and on and on. And it was uncomfortable at first. And after a while, I was accepting of it. And he'd always make me read the Course in Miracles to him out loud. He goes, this is truth. This is truth. And it was just, I was just so caught up in the energy. And it was a very nice platonic a draw to this type person that was just so loving. And then, you know, and I kept saying, well, who are you? And he goes, you know, our time together has ended. And I was like, okay, that's weird.
that's a weird
conversation. So, but I always tell the story because I think it inspires people that it's not, that's kind of a unique experience, but there's people, and like you said, and books and agape, there's different things that can come to us that can help us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the darkest part of our soul that can help us, lead us back to.
But now, Carolyn, you said an important thing that, you know, on the path of, you know, wisdom teachings or metaphysical studies or spiritualism, the asking, whether the prayer, however you want to ask, you do need to put the call out, and then it is answered. And you said you had been meditating on this and praying. Mm-hmm. And so that's the asking. I mean, it's so powerful to ask, you know, for this, because it is, since we are all one, even though it's coming through another being or energy or entity, it's still a reflection to some degree of us. So in a way, it's us, right, asking us to confirm for us or show
right.
us or guide us.
Right.
So,
right.
But very powerful what you said, how you, and what prompted you to do the meditation or pray or ask? Was it just something just said, I'm just going to ask for this, or had you been thinking about what's my next step?
I think at 26, it was before that, around 24, I had a health crisis that I found out the health information on my birthday that was pretty profound, and it went me to a deep spiritual kind of searching, like, why did this happen on my birthday? And then later I found out the issue was resolved later, thank God. But so from 24 to 26, and I worked on the Hill, and I did other things. I did not feel fulfilled at all. I hated all the stuff that goes along with the power plays, and some of the stuff was really powerful. What I did, I worked for Governor Wilder and Senator Sanford on a committee meeting and stuff, but it just didn't resonate with my heart and my soul. I was a sensitive type person. I was I liked to help people. I didn't like the heaviness of the government, of the Senate building and all that. And from there, because of that, I moved to an economics research firm because they figured I would go along with it, and it felt even heavier. And it was a company based out of France, and I was just doing mindless marketing, but actually that marketing little job that I thought was mindless has helped me do marketing for my business now. So everything has
go.
A reason. Exactly. And I sat next to a Swedish woman who was into yoga and psychics, and all day long we talk about stuff. She was great. There was a real mission and path. But so I had become a vegetarian. I was eating healthy. I wanted to, I left my job and I didn't know what to do. Was I going to go to Columbia, or was I going to, and it was, when you have to make those decisions, you go with it and then you just ask. And I did, and I got the answer in a profound way. I put out a clarion call, and somebody, either somebody in the physical world or the half spiritual, half physical, will come forward, or a music or a book or a church or an organization to help you, because, you know, the universe is aligned. It's conspiring for us, not against us, you know, so things will come out. And I felt like because I was eating healthy, you know, my energy level was really high. There's something magical with me in a park and meditating that just opens up my senses. You know, it's happened to me recently, too. So, and getting in touch with nature, feeling God's essence, God's creation, sitting in the creation and feeling a part of it, that opened me up in a way that I was at a resonance, an energy level resonance, that I was able to attract somebody like that, you know. And I haven't had a profound experience like that on that level since then. But I've had, they've become a little bit more subtle or different and profound, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to ask again.
Yeah. Oh, you know, actually, you're right. Actually, I did ask, and I did have a profound, but it was a little.
Oh, see,
yeah.
I was going to say, I knew you did.
yeah, you did.
It seems like, too, sometimes they come in waves, you know, like we're learning one thing. I mean, like you're doing the marketing, or, you know, you go in kind of one direction to pick up certain skills or tacks or, you know, energies, and then kind of come back, you know. So sometimes a little more exoteric, and then you are, you know, guided more to the esoteric again, that kind of balancing, you know?
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, from that experience, when I was at Columbia, I explored a lot of healing, and I went to the East West Books all the time, went to the Open Center. I would go to Omega Institute. I mean, it became so profound, and my soul opened up to the truth of what I really wanted to do, to be a spiritual healer, intuitive counselor, you know, to help people with their soul as somebody helped me, you know. So it's been a long journey. I mean, that was almost 20 years ago. Yeah.
I'm with you. You know, I love it because 20 years ago you didn't hear so much about the soul, and even
right.
20 plus years. I know, I'm loving it too. There's so much happening right now about the soul, the awareness of the soul, that we do have this, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. No, it's like I've been preparing all this time for this time right now.
Yes.
And more
exactly.
People are looking. Yeah, and searching.
Yeah, more searching and wanting to know, and I think because some of the, some of it, to me, a little bit of my theory is that because it deals with a limitation in the sense that you need to find what's right for you or your purpose. It's not about just manifesting or getting, you know, something that somebody else has. It really is about living and honoring you.
Absolutely.
And what you're about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was just teaching that in my class today. I have an intuitive development class, and, you know, it's really asking the women to think about what's good for you, not what looks good. And, you know, she's like, oh, I did this and that, and with all these celebrities, I'm like, but do you feel good around them? It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, so what's really good for you? And that's always the dilemma, the physical world and the temptations, you know. And sometimes creating an abundance is wonderful, and it can be very lucrative and feel good, and if you feel good with it, more power to you. But if it doesn't honor your spirit, then you
mm-hmm.
know that you're not on your path, you know. What doesn't speak to your soul, yeah.
Right. Now, Carolyn, also, what do you suggest for people to discern? You know, at the top of the hour, I had a question that came in about knowing if you're on the right path or not. And what do you feel can help people know that?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people ask that. How do I know? How do I know?
Yeah. When you're on it, you know. When you're not, you're asking generally. But
Oh, I like that. Oh,
yeah.
You say that again? Yeah. When you're on it, you know. Yeah.
When you're not, you're asking if I'm on it. Not. But does it bring you joy? You know, if you can ask yourself that simple question: am I doing something that brings me joy every day that I love doing? And that gives me a sense of awareness, you know, and a sense of purpose and a sense of joy. And some people are like, well, they don't even believe they can have a job like that or a career or a
yeah.
life. And that's the problem. And we have to reprogram yourself and relearn that, yes, it is our divine birthright that we can be happy and be doing stuff we love. And I've really helped a lot of women and men and go into things that they never thought they would before, but it was what their soul wanted, not what their personality wanted. You know, so you have to ask, am I in joy? Do I feel good doing it? Do I feel tireless and effortless doing it? I mean, I was up last night, you know, doing my newsletter just because I couldn't sleep, and I have no problem with that, you know. That's
yeah.
exciting for me. Like, what does Spirit want me to put out to the world now? So also, if you're doing something that feels heavy and you feel tired, or addictions start coming up, or you know, like if you got to go to work and then you got to go home and drink 3 glasses of wine every night, and you know that this is not what you want to do, if you're feeling, you know, tired, if you're getting depressed, not eating, not sleeping right, not doing things, not getting concentrations going down, and you're off balance, then you know you're probably not on your path, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a gift. Everyone has a purpose here, and everyone can live in a lot of happiness and peace. And everyone's joy is not anyone else's joy. They can be really different paths. So it's just really listening to that voice within, your own intuition, listening to your guidance, and then moving forward.
Mm-hmm. It really is that listening, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that sounds easier said than done. Believe me, I'm always changing situations. I'm into numerology, and I have a 5 in my chart, so I'm always changing jobs and getting new contracts. I'm an independent freelance person. I do healing. I still work at a hospital, and I do other things. I do readings and counseling. and I write articles, et cetera. And sometimes contracts just wear out, and I don't want to leave, but I say, you know what, Spirit's wanting me to leave. This is not
Isn't it?
Yeah, like money's coming in, but I'm like, you know what, this is not honoring me. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but sometimes you have to. I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I just can't, you know, go uphill anymore.
Well, and it's true. It's like what you're saying that, and I love the five. I also do numerology. So that five, loves to, very expressive as well, you know, very creative and kind of not being in a little a box, you know. That movement, that's great. But it seems like, too, when you, well, two things. Do you find that this will be more of a mode or way of living for many more people as people more aligned to the soul to perhaps free up more maybe and live more creatively?
Absolutely. When I say absolutely, I say absolutely, like S-O-U-L, you know. I believe that's, you know, part of my plan and purpose is to help people find their life purpose and to, the whole planet is shifting, you know, the whole 2012 is coming up. But besides that, I think people are finding all the systems are breaking down, just in our very basic banking system, you know, economic system, church system. I mean, it's just like what was predicted in all these different books about 2012, et cetera. And just, you know, I think there's been a lot of 2012s that happen around the planet, but people are trying to say, well, what is important? You know, people are unemployed. There's a lot of pain going on. And then I think with the earthquake in Haiti, people are looking at that and saying, oh, my God, I have a place to eat and sleep at least, you know. So, you know, they're really, it's really like a wake-up call. I mean, it's incredibly devastating, but these souls sacrifice, you know, some of what their experience to teach a lot of the world, you know, to learn how to give and to be compassionate. So, and I feel, but, and more people are responding, I mean, you know, than before, than like Katrina, you know, like we learned from that. So we did learn to grow. We did move forward.
Yeah.
So I feel now, people are reaching deeper. I've, you know, a lot of clients that are just unfulfilled, you know, and don't feel like they're doing enough. All the spiritual books out there, Oprah's having a past life regressionist on her show, you know, and the airways, Reverend Michael's message going on to Oprah and CNN. I mean, there is a shift, definitely. I worked as a healer at UCLA, pediatric pain program, and a lot of the children there, they were 12, 11, they're in chronic pain. And I would do energy healing with them, and they all were telling me that they have these missions. It was the strangest thing, you know. When they were 11 and 12, I said, well, what are you here for? And they'd say, oh, I'm here for world peace, or I'm here for planetary shift, or they say, I've always talked about global warming since I was little, and the mother would say, you never told me that. She goes, well, you didn't ask me what I was here for. And I would ask them this question, and their soul would come through. So I think that these younger beings are being prepared and teaching us that there's something more.
I would have it's just interesting to see that there are more. It's more prevalent now. You used to find that kind of connection or before information was kind of few and far between, and now it's just so prevalent. But it's on our consciousness. You know, is allowing that. It was there. It was still there, you know, but not as much. I know because growing up, I started channeling at age 4. So, my mom, you know, she was embracive of it. But the thing is the difference is it might be every 10 people or 100 people that you would find someone that knew. But I did.
Wow.
Whereas now... I did find people along the way that I like you. I asked. God, what's going on here?
We're way ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The difference now. I've been waiting.
Wow.
I'm tickled. I love. But I also look and I say, you know, now though, just like what you're bringing up is. You know, the books are there, the CDs, the DVDs, it's more in the race consciousness, you know, the resonant field is holding more of this. But it was always there, it just wasn't as prevalent. And what excites me, like with work that you're doing and you know, many of us are doing, is that you're holding the space so that it becomes the new way. You know, it'll become mainstream.
Right.
You know, right? At some point, all of this, because it's always been there. It's just to get it to be more mainstream, more everyday. I mean, I think, gosh, could you imagine if this was on a regular basis part of a, you know, school curriculum?
Oh, I know. You're right. It is becoming mainstream because people are, I mean, we're spirits, you know, and we're realizing that. We're understanding that we're spirits in the physical world, not the opposite, you know, and people are getting in touch with that. So I think that there are a lot of people starting schools. There's a lot of summer camps for crystal kids and indigo kids or trusting your intuition. I was talking to a woman who did a book for children on becoming cosmically aware of your consciousness. It was just amazing, you know. And these younger kids are pushing us to look at things differently and changing systems and saying, you know, the kids I was working with, they were in chronic pain, but they were saying, you know, this isn't wrong. This little girl, this is wrong the way things are going, you know, and I would encourage them to trust their guts. You know, they would say, I see visions, yeah. I hear things, I see auras. And I said, well, this is part of the normal trend, but they had no problem saying it, but they had more of a community than maybe you had, you know, of books and stuff that they can connect to and assure them that this is an okay, natural way to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As we open up more spiritually, more of our spiritual gifts would come forward, and more of us will feel this need to do our life purpose, because that's what our soul tells us. You know, our soul constantly pushes us to move towards that experience. So it's, you know, a great time to be alive. And, you know, you see meditation everywhere, and you see more people talking about mindfulness, giving back. You know, even Obama was saying something like, you know, when the presidents of banks were getting all these millions of dollars, he said right out, that's just wrong, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Integrity coming up all over the place with Tiger Woods and, you know, all this stuff, all this darkness that people, what did you say?
Like the transparency,
Yeah, all this darkness that people try to hide is no longer, the soul doesn't hide the darkness, it shines light on it. So the integrity is coming stronger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is exciting to see. Well, back with the children, I remember a little boy that I worked with, assistant teaching, and this is, you know, college days, so we're talking in the 80s for me. He knew of past lives. And the thing was, because I knew of them too, I just listened to him and I asked him questions or said, oh, yeah, you know, and he said he knew me from a past life. I mean, he used exact those words. And, yeah, so there, you know,
that's amazing.
Little Johnny Flores. I use that story. He said, yeah, where was your car from the other lifetime when I knew you?
Oh, my gosh, love it.
Yeah. And there was a school, Apple School, where they covered some of this stuff in past life work and such. But I think uncensoring, I think you're hitting on something, and where you say community, I think the more that the big people get, you know, schooled on this and open, then there's not going to be the censoring of this stuff or just saying, oh, you have an imagination or something. You know, when a child is full on, you know, talking to their spirit guide or whatever. And every child does. It's interesting. It's because my contention is most people, unless they're really, really wounded, but even so, come in this way. It's just socialized out. Because every child has a friend, a magic helper, a guide. Some even call them, like, you know, my guide or my friend. Until they get so much pressure that, don't say that at school, or no, you don't, or you're making this up, or it's just imaginary, till it's kind of, you know, squeezed out of them, you know. And some retain it, some still retain it, but just in the closet, you know, kind of hiding that you have this, you know, guide with you or whatever.
Oh, no, I was just saying, unfortunately, some of them, I still work in psych facilities. I do freelance, per diem. There's some people who have a lot of psychic abilities that were thought they were crazy, And this one woman was saying to me, I'm telepathic. And I said, I believe you. And she really was, but she also had some psych issues. And a lot of times they get diagnosed that way, and then they get them on medication, and they go down a whole different world. I think a lot of very psychic, intuitive people were hospitalized, you know. One of the first readers I went to, she's amazing. She doesn't do the work as much anymore, but she said that they were going to hospitalize her because she was clairvoyant, clairsentient, everything. And she told the psychiatrist exactly what his living room looked like and what had the argument he had with his mother and that day or something, and he didn't hospitalize her because he knew her gifts were real. Mm-hmm. I mean, but not everyone has that ability to, you know, get in that quickly or whatever, to prove themselves that they're not crazy. So, and you know, you have some people who have a little bit of trauma, and then they have psychic abilities, and they get, you know, so there's a couple of us that are very intuitive and healers that work in the psych facility, ironically. Three of us are energy healers, so we kind of help them. Yeah, it's very weird.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what do you...
the psychiatrist is energy
what do you
healer.
Oh, that's good. So what do you tell when either they're opening up about their gifts or their abilities, and do you acknowledge them?
Important. It's tricky because you're working in a certain environment. The psychiatrist
I work to is
an energy healer. He does. He just does it all. I'm like, okay, that's your license. Go ahead. But then the pharmacist is a healer too, so which is kind of interesting because he's giving out meds.
That's very interesting in that world.
I sometimes will validate. I talk about the soul in our group. It's a psychiatric group, and I say, you know, what's good about you? Forget about all the negative. What are you here for? What's good about you? What have you done positive? Oh, I can't figure it out. No. There's something good about you. I shift them into a more positive state. This one woman says I'm telepathic. I said, well, that's okay. You're hearing, because I hear my parents' voices and what they're saying before they say it. I said, that's okay that you may do that, but if the voice is telling you something negative, that's not the good voice.
Mm-hmm.
You might be listening to a lower energy. Oh, what's that? Oh, there's lower and higher, and I'll explain it that way. You know, so I validate it, but I curb it within the system so they can understand. You know, and I said, let's meditate. I'll get them all, and I'll say, let's take deep breaths. Connect to your spirit. Let's go out in nature, you know, and, you know, so we can, you know, feel what's, you know, how to clear your energy, because a lot of them are very sensitive and clairsentient, so they get overwhelmed. And they start drinking or using drugs or something. They don't know that some of these things are normal. So it depends on case by case, but I'll tell them certain experiences that are normal. I told them that my grandmother came to visit me after she died, and that does not make you psychotic, you know?
Wow, that is so great. That is so needed. Because need people either weaving within the system or in the system that can, like, within the context of the system, I so agree with you there, but to just those little kernels, those little nuggets, you know, are, especially in that kind of environment, Carolyn, it's so healing for them. That's, bless you for that. That's really, it almost makes me teary-eyed.
It's been hard. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be my path between UCLA, well, I wasn't looking to work there at all as a healer, and at the hospital I'm working for, in the psych facility, I just got, you know, said, you need an extra person here. And I just knew that this doctor and this other pharmacist, our energy healer, they've come to me for readings. So we just happened to she actually does Reiki on them. You know, we're trying to put, the seeds. My friend calls me an infiltrator, infiltrating the dark side, you know, and trying to give something positive there. But at 38 years ago, I had a pulmonary embolism in the hospital, a blood clot, and it was really hospital neglect that made me have that. And I did a little dance on the other side but came back. But what was important, when I was coming back, I was really hurt and angry. I spent years working in hospitals, helping elderly, helping children, in facilities that are hard for me, a sensitive healer, to be in. I was like, why is this happening? And I said that to God, I said, why did this happen to me? And God said, I want you to help me transform hospitals. It was this clear voice, that same voice that said, you will never be left alone, through that channel, that being that came to teach me. And I know the voice, and he said, and I was like, next time send me an email. Don't try to kill me in hospital.
That's right. But it's always the physical, there's some kind of physical or emotional wake-up call that you get with the spirit knocks to redirect your energy, you know. It's always some kind of woo.
I know, exactly.
I hear you.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, next time, see a little bit. Don't kill me. Don't leave me with a $30,000 hospital bill, you know.
That's right.
Because they got the wrong insurance.
Is that what happened? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's a story. It's a book that I'll be writing. Yeah.
It's
crazy. Because I ended up in ICU for 7 days. Seven days.
Yeah,
with a pulmonary embolism after a simple surgery because they made mistakes. And I knew the mistakes they made because I work in a hospital. And then the hospital lied and said I was losing my mind and that wasn't true. And I said, no, the nurse said she would not ambulate me after surgery. And that's why I got the blood. And the guy who did, I had two surgeries, the guy who did the second surgery said, you need to get out of bed and make sure the nurse comes at 6. I'm like, that's not my job. And she said, I'm too busy to come. So she came at 3 when my breathing was down to like 50%, and they took me down to a VQ scan, and I had 2 blood clots, and I could have died right there. So, yeah, and then because I was, so I had to go to ICU until they cleared the clots, and the insurance company didn't pay for it, and we went to $30,000, yeah. And it was all preventable. Mm. And that's the abuse and neglect in hospitals, and I feel there's a lot of it going on, unfortunately.
There is a lot.
Yeah.
I have a friend that used to be a nurse, and she said that as she was on the other side, but she later left because she saw something. Actually, she's an intuitive, so she went another direction, but she did say that they will lie. They will change records or just
She worked in a hospital?
Lie. She worked in
a
hospital.
Yeah. Oh, sure. They lied right to my face.
Yeah. But she admitted, they do that. She said, you know those stories? She said, and you're instructed, sometimes it's just with a look, but you know that if you don't do something, then you can lose your job.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's also this subtle game playing of what's truth, you know, instead of telling somebody that an elderly person that you can live, that you can get CPR, you can get full code, they try to convince you to get a DNR, do not resuscitate, so that they don't have to keep you alive. I mean, there's a lot of game playing.
Little game.
That are really, to me, against spiritual law, and that's why hospitals are crashing. That's why the healthcare system needs to be revamped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it's just a money issue, too, but, and I think that's why the experience happened to be to me, unfortunately or fortunately, was to see the other side of it, how patients are treated. They gave me the wrong medication. They, even though I had it on my armband, they wouldn't give me medication. They were abusive. They lied. They thought I was a non-member and a non-insurance person. And when they found out I was insured, they treated me completely differently. I mean, just on and on. They took me to the VQ scan twice. You know, which is a lot of radiation. And I said, I just got this. What are you guys doing? You know, it was constant mistake after mistake after mistake. I think I counted 22 mistakes. And one almost killed me. And then I was septic. They didn't use gloves to change this and that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, and it's all about greed. And there's good people that work in the hospital that get caught up. You know, there's good people that work in a lot of these systems that don't listen to their soul urging and don't speak up and are problematic. And are moved out, you know, and in psych facilities. This is not my first experience. I worked in 2 psych facilities in the Valley. A little 7-year-old boy died by being over-medicated, 7 years old, you know.
It sounds like, Carolyn, you're a bridger. Well, no, because you're working, because you're a bridger. You're bridging the new information or the new way of being into the system, you know, little by little, you know.
Right.
That,
hard
which
tell,
is,
I'll tell you.
It's hard. I was just going to say, it's hard because you have to be within the system. You have to have gone through, you have to have some resonance, so you have to have had something happen, you know.
Right, right. Oh, definitely. He would always have some kind of drama.
No, I know, but it's not easy. But amazing that you're able to do that. And, boy, I hope you get your book out soon, because that is so, I have clients personally that have gone through, you know, major things because of the, you know, health insurance or the medical practices, the hospital, and, you know, some that have been, you know, millionaires and come out not, you know,
oh
out of the
God.
Hole. Yeah. So
That's why I don't understand why people are fighting this reform. I mean, when I worked at the economics, I know. When I worked at the economics, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't figure that one out. I keep trying to meditate on and pray and just observe. And I'm like, I know there's a spiritual lining or silver, but it's right now it's looking a little bit like pewter. The lining here. What is
Because I know so many people don't have health insurance and the bills get, astronomical. That's why sometimes these hospitals go to these sneaky practices, to try to save themselves money. But because one person, one guy drunk and it can be, millions of dollars, seriously, 30 days. I mean, I was there 7 days with a $30,000 bill, I live seriously. I have $2,000 left. I'm very proud of myself. I did get some help from parents and stuff, but I literally worked myself off to pay off. I didn't want any kind of debt connected. And it's a long story, but there's a lot of systems that are not helping people and are healing. And when I worked for the economics research firm, what I was marketing is healthcare databases. So all day long, I would look through the healthcare systems of the European countries. And I was astounded by the great care that Germany and Scandinavia and England and just like in that movie with Michael Moore, I forgot the name of it.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It'll
come
to
me.
See him in it.
Yeah. So it's just like that. They have. I know. I want to say Scrubs, but that's not it. I can't think of it. I was astounded. I mean, it was interesting. Again, that job taught me about healthcare systems. It was a temp job. I just got it as a temp in an economics research firm. I was doing marketing, which helped me. But I was marketing healthcare databases. I would go to different healthcare fairs and I'd talk about it and learn about it. And that's why I'm like, people don't realize we need that here. The healthcare is astronomical. People are not getting, conditions done because they can't afford it. And that's why I try to work with people's spirit and their soul when I work in the hospitals, because they themselves, the medication can help, the surgeons, of course, and everything else, but they have to help their spirit to heal. Why is this happening? What is going on? How can you also, in a system that's working sometimes against you, get something reprieve or healing or soul healing out of it, Because there are situations that can teach you. I mean, every, dark situation, there's a seed of light, Even if it's, all this, even these painful, painful, painful stories, I worked in oncology for kids and seeing children die, my gosh, how can there be anything sadder, And it's like, well, the spirit, what is the spirit trying to teach here, So that's why I
love
the soul.
That interesting.
Yeah, that's why I think the soul and the spirit are so important. And need to be not a chaplain, but need to be part of not dismissing chaplains. My father's a minister. I understand there's a purpose for everything, but on a deep soul level, people understand they don't feel as victimized, that their soul came here with a purpose, and there's lessons, and how they learn them, and how they transform them.
And much easier to go through something when you know that there's more of you. There's parts of you that aren't affected by this. We've got a wonderful comment on you in the chat from Queen. She is wonderful. Thanks to her for all her works.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I feel the same as well.
Also, if you do have questions, you can also put them in the chat room, or you can call in at 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And just press the number 1, and I'll know that you have a question or comment for Carolyn.
I can do readings, too, if I have a quick question. That's up to you.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. If you have reading, would you prefer them to call in if you have a question?
Yeah, I should hear their voice. As long as they have their name, if they're typing, that's fine. I usually can, but I can go off vibrations. Their voice can give me a lot. Yeah.
You can call in. Okay. And again, the number 347-539-5122.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, I say that I know for the hospital and pain and people have cancer, and I don't want to make them feel victimized because I too, have been there. I was, hospitalized and I had a pulmonary embolism. It was an ICU. It was horrible. It was just the worst experience I've ever experienced. So I did dip to the other side, which gave me more energy. But so I just want other people to know that I don't have judgment about that, like what condition may be part of
it. I don't either.
Especially because
it's part of
I
the
was,
plan.
Yeah.
You know, many times.
The anger and resentment I felt after working so long hours in hospitals helping people not to experience that. I was like, why in the world did I experience it? So, and I realized that there was, it took me a while to get over. I couldn't sue because there was, I healed. Because I healed. If you didn't, if you don't heal, you can sue. If I had like a 50% breathing.
Oh my
capacity,
God! Really?
Oh, I talked to 20 lawyers. I was completely drained. I could not even pick up the phone to talk to a lawyer. And
but even because you went through something, you can't sue for what you went through.
It was I know the emotional distress. The lawyers I talked to, the most compassionate one, he was absolutely fantastic. He was a Unity person, and it was out of state. He said you'd have to fly back and forth, which is true because I'm in California. It happened in Maryland, and he said he talked about the system. He talked about bias. He talked about it was a small town, and a lot of those people, they know the doctors and nurses. He talked about going against a hospital system. That's unfair. So I had to have a big lesson in forgiveness that was just, you know, it was very, very, very difficult, and I've seen how there's been other gifts given to me through spirit, but I remember that voice in my head that said, it sounded, you know, the source, I want you to help me transform hospitals, but it took a long time. That was in 2005, so to be able to even talk
look
about
it, it's all here now, though, but look at the timing. That's just so fascinating, you know, that
Right. It's like I was put in the place at the time, you know, because no one picked that up. I'm intuitive. I was nervous, though, about the surgery. My sister said, Carolyn, I've never seen you so nervous. And I said, I don't know, something feels off, you know. But, you know, didn't completely listen to my gut, still went on it. But I think I was supposed to have the experience for whatever reason. I went to the other side. I had a brief encounter with a spiritual being that told me, showed me my life. And said, I looked at it, I don't remember everything, but I said, oh my God, I haven't done anything. There's so much more I need to do. And I felt this light and love and whoop, went back into my body. And when I came back, I saw, and before that I was doing readings, but I closed my eyes and saw present, opened my eyes, saw past, and looked in my eyes and saw the future. It was weird. It was like there was no time. Everything was mished, and there was no darkness. So, and I got more, you know, gifts, from that, and they come through sometimes in speaking or writing. So I mean,
we have another comment from Tammy that very inspirational, and she's saying it goes to show how positivity to respond to a life event.
Right.
Yeah, very inspirational.
Thank you
what you're
so
saying.
Much. It took me 5 years to get there, but no, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
but you're there now. But see, but then you know, just even speaking now, the people that are listening now and we'll listen later, just hearing that, because you know other people are going through something very similar, and number one, to know that it took you a while, that's to me the real moving on, which to me that's a form of forgiveness. It's not, you know, I'm sorry or it's okay, but you know, that deep work to get to that place, and now to be able to speak about it and share impacting so many people, especially in these times.
Right, and it really still affects me. What's interesting is that the company, part of the company I didn't pay for, I still worked for, which was hard. I had to go back and work in the hospital because I work freelance, like, 30 days. And, you know, I couldn't breathe, you know. A pulmonary embolism is, that was it. That's how people die, you know, and
that was hard. Because in the layman's terms, blood clot, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Blood
clot. Are you able to feel that something is happening, that this is going on?
No, I was so medicated in the hospital. It was post-surgical neglect. That's all it was. It wasn't something my body, they tried to pretend that she didn't ambulate me post-surgical, which she should have. What's that?
Okay. We got a call here. Let's see.
Oh, okay.
Hello, 703-435. You're on Awakenings.
Hi, I'd like to know. I've been trying to reach my brother by phone, and he hasn't answered. He won't call me back, and yet I know his phone's working. Could you tell me why that might be?
Okay, I need your name first.
Susan.
What is it? And his name?
Gary.
Gary. Okay. The first word I'm getting is depression. Is he depressed? Does he have depressive issues?
He could be. He's had it often.
Does he drink?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, are you close enough that you can go see him?
Yeah, I could, but he's, I don't know, he's kind of a funny person.
I'm a little concerned. I would try to, call him or stop by or something.
Yeah, I might try to visit him. I've been trying to call him for some time, so.
Because what I'm hearing a thought form from him, Gary, is I don't want to be bothered. I'm sick of everything. Nothing's working out.
Yeah.
I'm going through a lot of things financially or something.
Yes. Yeah,
out of work.
Exactly right. You're exactly right on all the bases. Yeah.
So he needs support and encouragement. I would send him love and angels, but I would also try, I feel like a physical knock-knock on the door. That's
okay.
The spirit showing me. Yeah, if
okay.
You could.
I'll try that next.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
even
much.
If he's a little angry, you bumped him up emotionally, because from depression to get to anger.
Well, nothing happened. We didn't have any words or anything, and we're very close, and that's the weird thing, is that wasn't any, I mean, we express our emotions pretty clearly with each other, and there was nothing.
I'm just saying if you go over there and he's upset about it, at least you've kind of given him some extra life force energy,
Oh, I'd be very happy to do that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that you are close and he's not responding is a big red flag. Don't let this sit,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is to me, sure. Well, okay, I thank you very much for your help. I'll head on over.
Thanks, Susan.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Susan. Bye. Blessings.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, that's...
To reach.
Oh. I hope it works out. Sending him light and love right now. Send him the violet.
Yeah, we will too now.
Yeah.
We'll send him some also, Susan, for you.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much going on now in the world that there's a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
And I think that if people did understand their soul, and like you said before, Michelle, like you understand there's a larger part of you that's so much wise and has wisdom and love and light, and that this is an experience, that...
Just a small part of us.
Yeah.
Just a small part. Got another call here. Hello, 510-355. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Is this Queen?
No, this is Amber, Evolution Music.
Oh, Amber. Oh, hello, Amber. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here. And hello to your guest for today. I'm sorry.
Carolyn.
Yeah.
Hi, Amber.
Hi. So I'm actually calling because, I'm tapped into the grid, and for all the light workers who are out there, I just need a little help right now. I have finally unblocked my throat chakra after a lot of trauma, and I've gotten back into music, creating, singing, and collaborating. Something has come to pass with one of the band members, and his ex-wife is actually throwing a lot of venom and anger toward the project. She's trying to actually sabotage the band and his involvement. She's gone so far as to destroy his drums at one point, slashing the heads. Mm. And she's threatened to come to rehearsal today at my home. And I'm just trying to get a little insight as to why with all of this energy brewing and creativity, is there this element?
Well, element, you mean the wife, why is she sabotaging it?
Well, I know why. It's because her ex-husband, they're not married. They live together, but he was kind of sweet on me.
That's what I was saying, like a triangle.
That's still a marriage, right?
Well, she's living with him, then they're not really done, so... Even if it's over, their energy is still mixing together.
Yeah.
So what's, and he liked you, you said? He likes you?
Yeah, he likes me. And,
so there's
the
triangle.
He's apologized for, stepping forward without having cleared up this mess, so to speak. His obligations, to the commitment that he made to this human being.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's getting to the point where she's calling me 18 times a day. And, you know, it's just something I wasn't prepared for. I thought, you know, I asked him, are you with anyone? Are you da-da-da-da-da, you know? And it was kind of a 99% truth, and now that 99% truth, the 1% lie has opened up an entire realm for not just me to be affected, but potentially the entire creative process.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Can you tell me her name?
Yeah, Fatima.
Foxy?
Fatima.
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 Okay. So, well, obviously, you know, he's not done. You know, even if they're married a long time, that's a energetic contract. That's emotional. That's a physical. That's a physical contract. You know, and
right,
they're still living
right
together. It's not finished. So, the triangle is, you always, if you think of a triangle, you're always going to hit each other. You know, like you think of a ball, and the triangle is going to go from wall to wall to wall. There's still that energy connection grid. He already apologized, so he knows he did something wrong. And I feel like what you're really feeling is the deception and the betrayal, the sadness connected to that, right? With a connection with the work, I get the word independence around you. Have you ever thought of doing creativity on your own, writing on your own, music?
Well, I do write, and so I guess, oh, okay, so go more independent.
I don't feel like right away. I feel like this needs to be resolved, but hasn't there been a long time you wanted to write or do things on your own, and you've put it off?
Yes.
Right, so this is probably the reason why this is coming up now, because sometimes when things are so toxic and they're not done, it's going to push you to move towards more of a light or more of the right thing to do, you know? It pushes you out of the situation. So just keep that in mind. Keep your own writing going. There's going to be more discussions with him. You know, think about your relationship with him, if you wanted to continue, how you wanted to continue, because it doesn't feel like she's going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
Okay? There's ownership. Her energy has ownership over him.
Extreme control.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme.
Yeah. Any other specific questions about it?
Well, there's this man that's come to me with the energy of having a baby, and you know that was kind of the bridge that we met on. You know, he has a deep desire to have a child, and I've been dreaming about a daughter for the last year and a half. So,
the same guy you mean?
This is the same guy, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Because you're not giving me names, I don't know. I hear a lot of stories.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. His name is John.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just, my intuition is telling me no.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, you know, it's kind of like it was a weird lineup where I had this desire and then this human being presented the matching desire. And, yet everything in life says it's out of order for us
right
to even engage in that together right now.
Well, the intuition, trust that, okay? It would be very difficult to bring a child into this until they're done. And also, he has to be honest with you, because is he going to be dishonest about the payments, child payments, or taking care of the kid, or you know what I'm saying? And you said, my intuition's saying no. That's kind of your answer, you know? That's your soul connection, your soul's information is very strong about that. So he could just come forward, but you have to, you know, clear out to get the right person maybe. Maybe this was like you put out an intention, but it wasn't clear enough, and you want somebody who's ready to have a child but also detached, you know? You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd have
Good
to get into more to see the whole
Good
situation.
Suggestion. Well, and if you want, thanks, Amber, for calling in. This brings up some good insight for people. You know, there's a lot going on right now, clearing-wise, and especially on the astral level, which corresponds to the emotional. So I so agree with what you're saying, Carolyn. They trust the intuition. The no means no. So,
right.
Yeah, trust the intuition. All right, Amber, thank you for calling in, and I hope that's helped you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Big hug. And I just had a thought as well, because of a baby always also signifies our creativity, something that birth. So maybe it is focusing on that as well, as you were saying.
Maybe she lets go, somebody better would come in right away, you know? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's always, it's so hard, yeah, that, you know, sometimes you do have to walk away from things. I walked away from a lucrative job just recently, and a better one came through. I mean, it's hard to do it. It's not the easiest, but it just didn't feel right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think right now there's, like I was saying, you know, there's a lot of shadow material up. There's just a lot of clearing to get to that wholeness, which, you know, is the soul, is the whole of us. And a lot of things seem to be coming up right now for, you know, many people to choose the more ideal, which does require some faith, belief, and then trusting our inner knowing, you know.
I so agree with you. A lot of shadow stuff coming forward, you know, with people and celebrities and other things, and, you know, all the two suicides that I saw recently, so sad, you know, and even with animals, right? With that whale, I mean, just a lot of stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah. A lot of, really kind of also to me showing that sometimes you've moved on from something. You know, or the resonance is no longer fitting or applying. And I think you actually said it earlier also within your path, just knowing something's done or over in time, you know, even in regards to a position or something, that something else is coming in. You know, it's so interesting to me that we really do always get that which is more ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And more life, isn't it true? More life enhancing, but in the moment, a lot of times we can't see that, you know.
Absolutely, I just can't hear. I was, dating somebody, and I was just like, "This is not what it's supposed to be." And I said, "Okay, this is the appetizer." But even though it was hard to let it go,
there you go.
I knew the main meal has to be coming. You know,
that's right.
So, and appetizer could be very tasty. Yeah. But it wasn't the main meal.
You know? That's right. Well, totally satisfy. Yeah.
Right.
Call those two like openers. Sometimes you have openers of something.
Yeah.
But it's just, right? It's just the opening, and you got to go through, and the...
a precursor.
You know, new person. Yeah, precursor. The new person or the new situation is really what it is. And, of course, that ego... egoic mind sometimes just because it can't see, it's not intuitive, and it can only see what it's in, what happened before, where it's at. So it's so interesting. It just doesn't see that it can be until it's aligned. Once aligned to the soul, it can. But you know, think, oh, this must be it, or how it doesn't know. How can it get better? It's thinking.
Right. It will practice manifestors. Sometimes you put out a projection and it comes back and it's like, that's not exactly it. Let me improve it. You know, you get your lessons and then you just like a sculpting, you do it again. And we're going to keep doing that because we're eternal beings, you know, and that's the biggest lesson I got. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to keep creating. I thought I'd get to a plateau and just stay there.
And maybe that's some of it, like what you're saying, that the aspect that we are in eternal, and it's in that focusing on that or connecting to that realization makes what we're going through not as bad, you know, in a sense.
Right. And the pain can be very, very real and horrible. I mean, working in a hospital after I almost was killed was a nightmare, you know, and being hypersensitive to how other people were being treated. I mean, I thought it was compassionate enough. It went up like 10 levels and, you know, having to see people suffering the way I suffered. You know, things can be really painful. And then after, you're like, oh, okay, I got this attribute. You know, my compassion is stronger, my understanding, my awareness. You know, that's what the soul wanted. The soul wanted that. It wasn't Carolyn. Personality didn't want it.
Right, exactly. We would choose another way, believe me. We like the easy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right. Easy.
Right, where's the easy button? You know, just like
that's
in right,
staples. Exactly.
Give me the easy button. Next lifetime.
You know, the soul doesn't care. It's like, wow, this is great. Look at all this learning and look at all this love and experience. And, oh, the heart got bigger, forgave. That's great. You know, like,
Exactly. That's so true.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Carol, this has been wonderful having you on Awakenings. This is you're a delight, and I love hearing your story and also how you're using your gifts and how you're bridging. I mean, it's just so powerful and so needed, and you know, I know you know you're appreciated, but just know that you're appreciated on so many levels for what you do. It's really been a joy to share with you.
Yeah, thank you. Because I actually don't really hear that as a social worker, so it is nice to hear finally, you know, to hear it and to see it. And actually, as I talk about it, it sounds better than was it going through it, you know. And I think that's a gift too. And you know, that's again why I'm writing my book about healing the soul and how I, you know, help do it. And I don't feel like it's a final version; it's just the beginning. You know, it's just I'm just beginning to understand, you know, how powerful the lifetimes can be and how you can grow and, you know, how move forward and heal yourself and heal others. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah, well, we all are. Oh, you know, clay molded and molded. So for those that are listening later in the archives and by phone, your website is intuitivesoulhealing.com, right?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. So, great. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I enjoyed being on the show. Thank you. Good luck on your show, too.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. And thank you so much, listeners, for holding the space and being a part of Awakenings. And you can find out more information about our guest, intuitive soul healer, Carolyn Coleridge, at intuitivesoulhealing.com. And you can get more information about the work that she does and the services that she provides. And always great to connect with all of you. It's such a joy, really, is a joy to be a part of this converging flow with all of you. And if you would like more information on Awakenings or connect more or some useful tools, you can go to selfandlight.com. On Facebook, Awakenings Radio, Michelle Mache on Twitter is a way to keep in touch with me, and then also awakenings@selfandlight.com. And thank you, Tammy, in the chat for putting the links. I so appreciate it. And all of you that tweeted the show and Facebooked it and also just the wonderful comments and conversation streams I was seeing in the chat. It's just a wonderful energy and presence that you all are a part of and co-creating, so appreciate it so much. And whatever time zone you're in right now, have a beautiful moment. And until next time, continue to share your insights, shine your light, and keep awake. Now we're going to end with a little bliss by Yogini, one of our former guests that was on.